Today's special episode is brought to you by Starting Points, Operationally Curious Questions. Begin pre-event learning with our best-selling Operationally Curious Conversation Starters. Download the app at startingpoints.app or the App Store, and purchase card decks at www.startingpointcards.com.
On today's episode of the Op Nerd Podcast, I want to talk about the sign that won't die. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. The Days Since sign. Let's just talk about it. Here we go. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC. Make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at thehopnerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. Welcome back. If you've been hanging around for a minute, and if this is your first time, buckle up. Buckle up. My name's Sam Goodman. I am the host of the Hop Nerd Podcast for all of our newbies out there. And welcome. Whether this is your first time listening or you have been hanging around for, I think this is 340 some odd episodes. It's always wild for me to say that this is 340 something. Look at the fancy pants little clip art, the pod art that we put out there, and it'll have the number on it. You can see we've been doing this thing for a minute, and I greatly appreciate you. Again, whether it's your first time here, and you, even if you say, this lunatic's not for me, and you never come back, that's cool too. That's whatever floats your boat. Or if you've been hanging around forever, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Let me tell you some ways that you can support everything that we've got going on here before we go any farther. The easiest and freest way to support the Hop Nerd Podcast is to click and give us a 5-star review. The next freest and easiest way that you can support the podcast and everything that we've got going on is by telling your friends about the podcast. The next free and easy way to support the show and everything that we've got going on, now this one takes just a little bit more time, is going and sharing it on social media, whether that's Instagram or LinkedIn or Facebook or wherever you do your social media in type of things. Yeah, there you go. And beyond that, another super duper easy free way to support what we've got going on here on the podcast and everything else is interact with us on social media. Go follow along on LinkedIn. You can find me, Sam Goodman. You'll see my ugly mug. We've got company pages for the Hop Nerd LLC and the podcast. Our, I don't want to call him friend of the show, but Daryl the Safety Man has a LinkedIn page, so make sure you go follow that. The books have LinkedIn pages. There's just all kinds of places that you can follow on LinkedIn. And if you're in it more for like the deep cut and the behind the scenes, and you're into getting content early, before it makes it to LinkedIn, it always goes on Instagram. Yeah, and a lot more goes on Instagram. So follow over on Instagram as well. It's just at the Hop Nerd. I've got an X, you know, the platform formerly known as Twitter. I think there's some Facebook stuff. I don't really use all that stuff that much. The other big one where we put a lot of stuff, and you should go subscribe if you're into the video stuff that we're putting out, which I'm going to get to in just a minute, is over on YouTube. Just search the Hop Nerd. We have put out a ton, like an absolute ton of videos. I want to go look. I'm sorry if I give you any dead air here, because apparently that's a big no-no. Hold on. I've got to make sure that I pause the videos that start playing on the page. We have 403 videos over on the Hop Nerd page, all the way back to when we first started darn it. Yeah, you know, the cringe stuff. Like, it's all there. Like, we've got all kinds of cool stuff over on there. So, yeah, follow along. If you're into what we're doing, follow along when we post stuff. Like it, share it, comment on it. We love having that conversation with you. So, yeah, make sure you get involved where you can. That stuff helps us an absolute ton. It's free, only costs you a couple seconds. Other ways that you can get involved, if we have got a Wicked Sweet, I think that's the best way I can describe it. Wicked Sweet or Badass, maybe. Badass works pretty good. A Wicked Sweet just feels more fitting for it, I guess. We have a Wicked Sweet, brah. Wicked Sweet merch shop at thehopnerd.com/shop. So we've got all kinds of cool designs over there. Stuff that's designed by like actual artists. Yeah, like real stuff. I keep putting like this little note on everything that we share about it, like just like a little like footnote that's like merch that doesn't suck. Yeah, so it doesn't suck. Like, it's actually designed stuff. It's on really, 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 really cool shirts and like crew neck sweatshirts and windbreakers and like actually stuff that I wear. Like, I wear it. I'm a bit of a shirt, t-shirt, crew neck, hat nerd. So I design stuff that I like, that I think doesn't suck. And hopefully you think it doesn't suck too. And if you're in the market for a shirt or a hat and you need one and you're going, you know what, I want to support the pod, I already need a hat, I might as well get a cool hat from the Hop Nerd, go to thehopnerd.com/shop. There's all kinds of stuff over there. Daryl, safety man Daryl, is hosting his merch over there as well. He's got a couple t-shirts and stickers. And I have to plug it because if I don't, I'm trying to keep him out of the studio today. But if I don't plug it, he'll run in here and make us do like a mandatory safety message or something. But he also has his debut album over on Spotify. I think it's on iTunes as well. It went through one of those like music distribution things. So I think it went kind of sort of a bunch of places. You can go listen to it if you don't have Spotify. I think Apple charges you unless you have like that streaming thing. No control over that. If you've got Spotify, it's just there, obviously. But if you have something where you're like, you have to pay for it or something, don't do that. Just go over to, I think it's Safety Daryl, D-A-R-R-E-L-L, Daryl, two R's, two L's. Safety Daryl, and you know, I'm going to double check. I'm going to trust but verify here just to make sure. SafetyDaryl.com. There you go. Yeah, just that easy. If that link gives you any trouble, you can go to thehopnerd.com/Daryl. Again, two R's, two L's, D-A-R-R-E-L-L. And you can listen to his number one chart-topping hits there. A lot of his videos are plugged in there as well, and you can check out some of his merch. Yeah, so it's got a little bit of all that stuff over there. Hold on. You know, I think we're past due, but we've got to get a little bit of cold brew in here. Went with a nice Dutch Bros cold brew this morning. Dutch Bros has been pulling up their cold brew game. I don't know that they've changed it as much as maybe I'm just starting to like it, love it, got to have more of it, just a little bit more. Still loving my Starbucks, but Dutch Bros has been kind of the the go-to here lately. Back to our list of important things. You can check out the books. They're all on Amazon. Safety Sucks, the original. Safety Sucks, the manifesto. And then the big one, 10 Ideas to Make Safety Suck Less, is available there as well. So what I wanted to share with you about the videos is we have been putting out – God, I can't get enough of that coffee. We have been putting out a whole bunch of funny videos. We'll tend to post them to YouTube and Instagram first. Over on YouTube, you can get the shorts. Usually we'll edit that into like a full scale 4K video too over there as well. At some point, you know that we'll put it over on the resources page of thehopnerd.com as well. So you can just download them and use them if you need them for anything. And then obviously over on LinkedIn, they usually come out, I don't know, maybe a day or two after we post them other places. So LinkedIn, sorry, y'all, but y'all, you're last to get it. Make sure you go follow other places if you want to be in the know first. But we've been doing a bit of stuff with Daryl. So Daryl has been doing a lot of little concerts for us, a little acoustic, a little electric, singing some safety songs. We've also been doing safety observations in real life. So those have been quite the hit, I think. People have been loving those. And it was really based on this idea of like workplace safety observations, but not at work, like in real life, like the absurdity of some of that stuff. I think just putting it through the lens of like in your kitchen, right, or in walking through your house, I think that it's just funny, and it really highlights not only the bad stuff but some of the good stuff, and it's just funny, right? It's just funny. So make sure you go check those out. What really came to mind with those was this idea of, like, you know, I've been hearing take safety home with you, like forever, like since the dawn of time, at least since the dawn of my career, and you've probably been hearing it pretty much since the dawn of your career as well. Workplace safety, it's not just for the workplace. Take safety home with you. So a lot of the premise of these videos, and they're pretty short and just funny, is that I took safety home with me. Yeah, I've got a safety person that I took home with me. Yeah, and you just have to go watch how all that plays out. So with all that said, you know, my calendar is always getting a little cramped. So if you need a hand in this new year, this year of 2025, let me know. Let me know sooner than later. I'm building that calendar out for the rest of the year. If you need a hand with human and organizational performance, if you're looking to facilitate some learning teams, or you're looking to train up some learning team facilitators or coach up some learning team facilitators, if you're looking for HOP fundamentals or anything in between, you know, I would love to come out and help you. Just shoot me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Again, thehopnerd@gmail.com. You can also go over to the website, thehopnerd.com. You can click on book an appointment or schedule an appointment or a consultation or whatever the heck we call it over there. And you can just throw some time on the calendar. We can jump on a little quick Zoom call and have a fun old time talking about how we can help you bring HOP to life. You can also check out all of our services. There's a resource page over there. There's videos. You can listen to this show. You might be listening to this podcast right now on thehopnerd.com. With all of that said, let's jump right on into today's message, where I want to talk about those stinking safety signs. Well, I'm going to try my best not to rant as much as many of you all like it when I rant. Yeah, I like to rant about some of this stuff because like with these signs, there's just certain things that just seem to never go away, even though we know that they're a net negative, and some of them way more than a net negative. Like, they're just bad. Not to drive us into two subjects already, but things like zero, which I think if we're tracing kind of where those signs come from and where we think that there's value in those signs, they're for the quest to zero. So we're really kind of talking about the same thing, I guess, here. And the signs that I speak of, if you haven't kind of clued into this yet, or if you fast forwarded through all of the beginning stuff that we do, and no shame, it's cool. Just glad you're here. We're talking about those days since last ... signs. Yeah, and I know you guys have seen, I post stuff about them pretty frequently. I found one in an antique store not that long ago. So I guess to give a little history on that post, many of you have probably seen it. If you've not, sorry. Maybe like a year ago, I posted one of those signs, and I was like, you know, the best place to see one of these things, I would, instead of seeing it on this job site, I want to see these things. Like, I want the normal day to be just seeing these in antique stores. Like, it's just old news, old history, like antique stores where we go, like, oh, remember back then? Now the only place that we see these are in like hipster breweries where you pay $73 for a cheeseburger and those fries that come in those little basket, and it's all not that great, but it's hip, and they play Foster the People and sell pine cone flavored chocolate Fig Newton beer. You know, like, no shame on those things either. I like a good brewery. It's one of my favorite kind of bar restaurants here in Phoenix is a microbrewery. So I'm no hate, friends. Don't I get in more trouble for making fun of IPAs than I do for making fun of safety stuff. My God. But I posted that like a year ago. And then not that long ago, right before Christmas, we were out wandering around and went into one of the antique stores here in Phoenix, one of those like antique warehouse type of things, you know, where everybody's got their own little stall and people just sell all kinds of stuff. It's one of those cool places to go get some coffee, walk around, kill half a day, you know, kind of thing. And I'm walking around and I almost didn't go upstairs. They have an upstairs. And the upstairs in this place is always like where they put the stuff, like, nobody really wants to look at. They put all the good stuff up front and on the first floor. Yeah. And so I was with Avery and Jarrell, and Avery's like, no, I want to go upstairs. They have like some paintings upstairs, and she likes going and digging through these old antique things just as much as I do. And Jarrell just goes along for the ride. Like he hates it, I think. But we're walking around, and I was just like stumbling around looking at stuff. They already went back downstairs. I was kind of lagging behind, and then I saw it. I saw one of those, you know, old, and it was a pretty old one, you know, the one with the chalk where it's like, this site has worked blank days without an OSHA recordable injury or a lost time, you know, injury. And I'm like, holy crap. So I took a picture of it and I posted it. And I'm like, I finally found it. It's finally in the antique store. And I'm not buying this one because they want like $300 for it. Hard pass. I did go around and get a little tiny one off of Amazon for the office that we use for videos and stuff like that. As much as I hate to prop up that market a little bit, I will say I think that sign, a little aluminum sign, costs like $6 with free shipping. So I can't imagine that too many people, they're just not in that much of a demand, I guess, if they're only running around, you know, six bucks on on the internet. But I share all this with you to share that there's still like a big bunch of people out there, I guess, that are like, my sign. No. You just don't understand. If that sign is not working for you, you're just doing it wrong. I've heard that a lot with zero too. Yeah, you're just doing zero wrong. You just never seen zero done right. You just never seen the day sent sign used right. I don't know that there's a right way to do it. I don't know that that way exists. I think it's kind of hot garbage. And I think by just kind of saying, I know we do it right. I think when people will say, no, this is just creating good in our world, in our work world, I think you might not be being curious enough. People might just be telling you that it's, yeah, no, it's fine. We're fine with the sign. Don't hit me. We're fine with the sign. I'm holding back here, y'all. I'm trying not to devolve into a rant here. So I'm going to take another drink of coffee. Ah, there we go. Restraint, right? Restraint. But yeah, it stirred up a lot of emotion. I think what was interesting to me is that there seems to be, not many people in the middle, and I don't mean in just the opinions around the sign. What I mean by that is I got a lot of messages, and there's some comments and different things. People are like, these things, nobody uses these anymore. And I'm like, oh, you live in a bubble. And then the other side of that is, oh, wait, people don't like these? Everybody uses these. I'm like, oh, wait, you live in a bubble, right? And what I've found in my experience, I'm always interested in yours. Let me know how many of these you see out in the real world, in the workplace. But I still see these on job sites in use. I don't want to say half the time, but probably pretty stinking close to it. A lot of sites that I wander around, especially when they're like new folks that I'm spending time with, I pull in the parking lot and there is the sign. It's right there when you're pulling into the parking lot, big and digital. Sometimes I walk in and it's the first thing you see when you walk through the door, right? At old school and writing on it with chalk. It doesn't matter. Yeah. So I think the most accurate way to describe where we're at currently, kind of with those signs, and probably in the greater scheme of that, zero, right, is it's about halvesies. It's somewhere in the middle right now. A lot of people think that these things basically don't exist anymore, and a lot of people think that they're still the bee's knees and that everybody uses them. Let's dig into it, though, maybe just a little bit farther. And I'm going to start, I think, by sharing some of my personal experience working internal, dealing with these signs and kind of where we went with it and kind of how this played out. But the company that I was working for, they used these signs and they used them quite a bit, and not just the signs. This whole days since thing was a big deal, just a big deal overall. So there were some signs. We had signs up. Yep. It was part of the briefing sheet that everyone used for like the morning call, right? So you guys probably do some form of that, whether it's every day or once a week or whatever that looks like. We did kind of this morning call followed by like a plan of the day type of thing for each department under that. I worked for a large utility. So basically all the sites, all the plants, everybody gets on this call with the highest level executive that is available, with local management teams and select frontline leaders and stuff like that. You know how these things play out, where it's, you know, somebody kicks it off and it starts with a safety message and then it goes over to site reports. Yeah. And so part of this was, is that as you would kind of go through the site report, the very first thing that was said, it would be, oh, it's so-and-so reporting from insert plant name here. It's been 347,000 days since our last OSHA recordable. And then next plant, hey, it's so-and-so from insert plant here. It's been 27 days since we had our last OSHA recordable, and on and on and on. So this, you know, it permeated really well through the organization. If you went to the executive safety committee meeting, the next thing, like followed by, and if in this world we had an ESC, an executive safety committee, where the top executives got together and they did their own safety committee thing. Yeah. And like safety message. And the next, it's been exactly blah, 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 blah days since the company has had. And it's like, so it went all the way through. Now, they also went down the path, though. They took this a bit farther, and it's just an extension of this, right? We went down this path, and I say we. This is stuff that I was gifted upon arriving to this organization, they went down this path of day since last human error clocks, too. Yeah, so if you went into, like, a power plant, as an example, there would be like a big digital clock that said, basically, it's been X number of days since we messed something up, since somebody made a mistake, somebody made an error, and we messed something up. Yeah. And then as you ventured farther into this facility, every department had their own clock too. So there was department, right? You know, this more traditional HP stuff, department clock resets. It's been 47 days since our department made a mistake. Yeah. I mean, we were just one step short of just putting digital clocks around people's necks and just each of us having a personal day count since our last error. Yeah. I mean, you went to the corporate tower and every floor, every department had these clocks too. So all the way down to human error. All of it with the best of intent, none of this like, ooh, bad kind of stuff. But what we experienced with this is that the higher the number goes, the higher that number grows, the less likely people are to report stuff. Yeah. And we had incentivized metrics tied to that, just like everybody has incentivized metrics tied to that. It was tied to OSHA recordables. It was tied to certain numbers of department clock, human performance clock resets, like error stuff. It was all like that. So just imagine it. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You have lived it just as much as I have lived it. And really, the crazy thing about this is the way that it played out is that people just stopped telling us stuff. Yeah, so unless you just absolutely had to tell you something, like they're just not going to tell you stuff, even if your response is good, even if they know, like they can tell you stuff, they're not going to tell you stuff because they know that by the procedures, by the rules, you've got to reset the clock. It's going to be a big deal, even if you don't make a big deal out of it. The process forces a big deal to be made of it, and then everybody gets to come in tomorrow and see that the clock is now at zero. And they know that, you know, I'm going to have to get up because I'm the one that was involved in it in that morning safety meeting and every safety meeting beyond that until someone else gets hurt or messes something up. And I'm going to have to talk about it. And everybody's going to look at me because I messed up the bonus and I'm embarrassed. So I'm blamed and I'm shamed. And we know how this stuff plays out. Come on. And it just created silence for us. It really did just create silence. Now, we struggled because there was a lot of interest in keeping these clocks. Like, and it's just like, well, it's got to be a good measure. Every measure is a good measure. You're counting days in between. That's got to be a good thing. It's like, listen, like the problems that you have with this, it is a net negative. It causes way more harm than it creates any amount of good. I tell you this, and I tell you this all the time, and I think it has to be repeated over and over and over and over, that the thing that should scare us the most isn't that we've had a couple OSHA recordables. Especially, it shouldn't scare us if we've had those, oh my goodness, we only went 12 days, and then we had another recordable because Sam sneezed and threw out his back. Like, that doesn't scare me all that much. You know what scares me is silence. Silence scares the absolute crap out of me because I can't do anything with silence. I can't improve anything with silence. I can't hear those stories about, hey, I almost died over there last Thursday. I can't do a damn thing with any of that stuff. And all those problems, all those issues, that brittleness, it just festers and festers and festers. And then we have a fatality and we're going, man, I don't know why we didn't hear anything about this beforehand. Just out of the blue, just right out of left, not so out of the blue. Yeah, not so out of the blue. Now, to kind of make this story a little shorter, is we did a lot of talking about the points that we're going to continue talking about here in a minute. A lot of conversation. We shared a lot of this perspective with the executives. We learned and gained information, a ton of information directly from the sharp end of our organization, and we safely shared that information up through our organization. We changed a whole bunch of minds and perspectives on those. And after about a year and a half or 2 years of kind of chipping away at that, we drug all the signs out and we smashed them up and we threw them in the dumpster. Well, by procedure, we threw them in the electronic waste recycling dumpsters. Yeah, because we had the fancy digital ones. Yeah, we threw them all in the dumpsters. Yeah, now it took about another year or two after that to get that report out thing that I mentioned from those morning calls stripped out, and they were still hot and heavy on keeping that. Yeah, it took a while, but we got them out of there and people loved it and they appreciated it. And it was a huge win for us as an organization. Let's maybe talk about some of the problems that I hope that most people recognize. We mentioned this thing that it creates silence. I'm here to tell you that anything, no matter how well-intended that something may be or might have been, anything, no matter how much you think it would work or you hope that it would work, anything that creates silence within your organization that makes it highly unlikely or impossible for people to tell you the truth is bad for your organization, period. It's just bad. Yeah. Now, the first defense of this is like, well, people have to report. They have to do the right thing. We've got a rule that says they've got to report stuff or else. Well, basic truths of silence. People only tell you what you allow them to tell you, even if you have a rule that says that they have to tell you stuff. Yeah, so if we know that that process is going to big deal it, or they know that the other side of that is blame, shame, and retrain, or maybe in an indirect sense, it was like we mentioned with that safety meeting where, yeah, they're not going to beat me up, but they're going to make me get up and talk about this stupid thing, and I'm embarrassed. As soon as something happens, I'm thrust into that negotiation, right, where I'm like, to report or not to report. Yeah. Think about how that sign plays into that negotiation. Yes, everybody's going to see the sign when they come in tomorrow. We're not going to get to have the pizza party. In the more extreme cases, we're not going to get that extra bonus check. Yeah. So you're harming reporting. Even if you have a rule that says that people have to tell you stuff, they're only going to tell you what you allow them to tell you, what you allow them to. Yeah. What you allow them to tell you. Sorry. I'm trying to stay out of a rant here, y'all. And that sign almost always makes it harder for them to tell you stuff. And that is a bad thing. That is never a good thing. I think the other problem here is that we put too much weight into recordability. Oh, God, here comes the safety police. Yeah. Now, we try to get better at that. Like, well, here's lost time, and lost time kind of makes that this is a little bit more of an extreme situation. But is it always? I don't want to get into a case management discussion and how inhumane that is in a lot of ways of like you actually need a couple days off. But nope, we're going to con the doctor into releasing you to full duty and we'll bring you here. And come on. Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm going with that in my mind. isn't really always that much worse. No, not always. But what's the big deal with recordables anyways? Yeah. And I know there's probably some safety minds exploding out there. And I'm not talking about from like insurance stuff. I'm not talking about from the perspective of like, yeah, but we've got to keep this down because it's I get it. Listen, I was a contractor. I know a lot of times contractors are still held to these weird standards of like, we've got to keep that TRR down because that's how we get work. I understand. Those are problems that have not been completely remedied yet. There are great clients out there that are changing the way that they pre-qual contractors. And I get it. I know that's not always the case. And it's probably not the norm yet. I understand. I know. But I'm just talking about from an actual like safety of work standpoint. Like, really? Like, I think about that, again, just from personal experience. A site that I worked on, you know, we had what was called a trend from our executives in their infinite wisdom, a trend of OSHA recordables. You have an uptick in OSHA recordables. My God, wherever you've been. What were they? Well, we had an employee that was coming out of a shop and was like, oh, look, the trash can's full. Let me pick up the trash can. I'm going to go empty this for people. Threw out their bag. Yep. OTC medication at a prescription dose. Yep, recordable. We had several others similar to that. We had some that were, you know, again, they're learning opportunities. They help shape some things in the organization. Again, not to take this into like too detailed of a conversation, but as many of you deal with, we were dealing with what I will just call a graying workforce. Yeah. None of us were spring chickens. Some of us were less spring chickens than others. And so we dealt with some of those kind of basic things that you kind of know you're going to deal with. And we got better at giving people really supporting them and giving them other things that can help them with this. But, you know, we had like the occasional torn bicep, right? Those kind of things. The oops, I sneezed and threw my back out. The oh, I went to get the trash can kind of stuff. But we had too many of those and too short of a period of time. And that was bad. That was bad. And so the way that would play out is basically hellfire and brimstone would rain down from the corporate tower. There would be lots and lots of like wagging of fingers and screaming because the day count, you know, was too short. Executives would come in their crisp new work jeans and boots and crisp, you know, shirts that have never been worn in a site before. You know, you could see them from a mile away. This, the glare from the hard hat alone is like the bat signal that corporate is here. And they would come in and basically, you know, not yell, but kind of yell, you know, at everybody and say, you just need to do better. Just do better. If it's not safe, don't do it. You know, like that kind of stuff. And then the number would magically go down because people would just stop reporting stuff. And really, where I was going with this though is, did that really tell us anything about how safe of a site that we were? And not in the least bit. Not in the least bit. To put that into a bit of context, power plant. Worked like multiple planned and forced outages over this same time period. Had multiple like crazy things happen that were so far outside of the control of that site, right? Dealing with all kinds of wild and crazy things. Things that just not my place to get into or talk about too much here. But just let me say it was busy. It was busy. It was a big, busy site. With every single kind of hazard that you could imagine and more, not a new site. So it had all the old site problems. You know, all the stuff I'm talking about, like everything is made out of asbestos. Everything is made out of lead. If you go to dig in the ground, it's like an archaeological dig. Like you're going to find layers of civilization, like all of the stuff. Like it had all of the stuff. It was what I would call a challenging site and a massive workload and a massive amount of people, including contractors and everything else that you could imagine on that site at any given time. Like some scratches, some bumps, so those recordables that we mentioned, and that's it. But we sucked at safety. Yeah. Yeah, we sucked at safety. We did all kinds of demolition work and rebuilding of this and rebuilding of that and big, heavy, high hazard stuff that a lot of amazing, amazing freaking people, professionals, put hours upon hours of thought and elbow grease into, all the way from the sharp end all the way up to the plant manager of this site, which is all of these people just bad asses. That's the only way I can put it. They were the most badass people that you could imagine. Just give a damn through the roof, knowledge and skill through the roof, just badasses. But they sucked at safety. They sucked at safety because a couple thrown out backs and a torn bicep. That's the problem. That's one of the problems with the sign, right? You're taking a measure that doesn't really tell you much, and you're putting a lot of focus on it. A ton of focus on it. Not all recordables, not all lost time injuries are created the same. There is one hell of a difference. One massive hell of a difference between I picked up the trash trying to clean up because, you know, I don't want this place to be a pigsty and I take pride in where I work. And oops, I shouldn't have done that. I guess I should have, air quotes here, been more safe and not done that. There's a big difference between that. And I did that and threw out my back. And holy crap, I like laid my arm open from, you know, my wrist to my shoulder. And I got a whole bunch of staples, but don't worry, it's not a lost time because we case managed that into con the doctor into letting you come back to work. It's recordable because it's not a lost time. There's a big difference between those two things. Right? We know there's a big difference between those two things. We cannot just take those things and boil them down into this easy peasy lemon squeezy number. Like all recordables are the same, and any time that you get one, it's just horrible. And it's just that's a lot of where this drives us to. But that sign is just the physical, visual manifestation of our obsession with OSHA recordables, and in particular, I think our obsession with zero. So back to maybe where we started at the beginning of this. It's the physical, visual representation of zero. So what we're doing is we're really taking this kind of zero idea of, and we've got to be real again. I don't buy into that. You've just not seen it done right. I doubt it. Because I don't know that there's a right way to do it. Yeah. We're taking this idea that OSHA recordables are bad. Well, why are they bad? Well, they're bad because if you get enough OSHA recordables, you're going to eventually have somebody die. And we know that's not true. But we still believe it, at least in pockets in our organizations and throughout industries. If you get enough scratches, eventually that scratch is going to be catastrophic. If you throw out enough of them backs one of these days, boom, back fatality. Yeah, that's really, I don't want to call it dumb. I'm trying not to call it dumb. It's good intentions, but we know that's not true. We just know that that's not true. If I have 47,000 back-related OSHA recordables, like I'm not super concerned that we're going to kill somebody next. I'm concerned with what in the hell is going on. Like, right? It's crazy, huh? Yeah, to me, it's that. It's this idea that if we just get all this other stuff to go away, if we just pretend that we can do a lot of this work and scratches will never happen. They should never happen. Really? That a bump is never going to happen. Really? 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 And we see recordable as probably the easiest way to do that because it's got some pretty, pretty clear. It's something we're already doing. We got to do. It's got some pretty clear. I don't know. Clear as mud, maybe. But pretty, pretty, pretty clear guidance on what to make something OSHA recordable and lost time. Pretty clear. Yeah. It's already there for us, so we might as well just measure it and we'll just put it up on that sign. And we know that because we believe this, if we just get these things down or lower or to zero preferably, then none of the bad stuff will happen. It's just propping up this old idea of if you just worry about the small things, if you just worry about those back strains, well, you don't even have to spend any time thinking about how fatalities happen. You don't have to spend any time doing that stuff. So big problems. Yeah, big problems. They create silence and they really don't tell us anything. I think those are the two things that I'm really trying to highlight here. You know that I'm winging this. You know that I'm rambling and I'm ranting a little bit because I don't write any of this stuff down. It's just a conversation between me and you. But yeah, I think those are the two things I'm going to highlight, at least right now. They create silence and they're just not all that useful. It really doesn't tell us anything, right? I think back to that site and some of the conversation I had back around this like epic freak out of, hey, you've had too many OSHA recordables in too short of a time frame, really boiled down to like, well, why don't you think about it like this? I'll just pick one department, this amazing group of scaffold builders. These scaffold builders over the past 360 some odd days through all of these outages, through every single setback and problem imaginable, from not being able to get the material that they need to not being able to get people that they need, and on and on and on and on, because a lot of this was emergent work. You can envision the problems that come along with all this stuff. You've lived through them too. Let's think about it like this. You know, they built like 1,400 scaffolds successfully over all of this work. Does that not count for anything? That doesn't count at all. It gets ruined because somebody picked up trash, and I think that's a good thing. Like, you saw trash, you picked up trash, you're going to go empty the trash. Cool. Because they threw out their back, it's gone. All of that work is for nothing. You now suck. No. Hot garbage lies. Just a lie. That backsprain tells me absolutely nothing about how effective these folks are at safety at all. It tells me nothing about the challenges that they deal with. It tells me nothing about the great work that they've accomplished. Back to this idea. It is, I'm going to say, useless. That's a pretty strong word. But I think it's kind of useless. And I think it's really bad for us, because when we throw those signs up, and especially when we throw those signs up and we big deal it in multiple ways, and we throw those big hefty incentives behind keeping that number down, the only thing that you're doing is making people keep their mouth shut. That's it. They're just going to not tell you stuff unless they have to tell you stuff, because they know you only want to see that number be like a bazillion days since our last OSHA recordable. They're going to do everything that they can, including just shut up, to deliver on that for you, because that is what you are telling them that you want. Yeah, they are not good. Even the digital ones. Even the digital ones aren't good. So I tried not to rant, but I think that was just a less screamy rant so far. I think personally, I just want to see these things go, you know, to the antique shop. And I think most of us do. Again, I shared our story a little bit of kind of how we dealt with it, to give you a bit of hope, I think, because I know when I first got into this organization that I was talking about, I was basically told, this is not the hill you want to die on. Like, you are not getting rid of these signs. You will never get rid of these signs. If you've been listening, you know me, challenge accepted. Like, I'm that person, and I think most of you all are too, probably all of you are too. It's like, I don't have a bit of problem getting fired trying to do the right thing. I just don't. When I was looking for a job when I found this one, baby. Yeah, like, no problem. And it was frustrating, and it was a pain in the ass, and it took conversation after conversation after conversation. It took, you name it, right? It took spending time with executives. It took spending time with site managers and leaders. It really took connecting the voice of the front line to the ears of the executives, right? Because they just didn't quite believe it, that like, wait a second, you know, these people, no, you're just obsessing over this. People don't have a problem with these things. And then when we shared this, like, actual stories, again, safely shared these actual stories, like, no, I didn't report that because of what? Yeah, we just, no. Like, I think the last thing that I want to end on here, other than giving you hope that you can change this, you have the ability to change this. I'm not saying it's going to be fun. I'm not saying that it's going to be easy. It's not in a lot of ways, but my God, is it worth it? You know, we had people like, We were rock stars, and we did not do this for us. Please. I know, well, kind of, because we lived with this crap, too. But, like, people would be like, you did it! Like, when we would go to sites, it was a huge win for us. People were like, you delivered! Safety finally delivered! It's like, yeah, we tried, man. Like, it helped. It did help, and that felt good. But really, beyond giving you the hope that you can make this happen, I wanted to give you that bit of encouragement, you know, that even in those situations where it's like, man, we love these things. I don't. Our employees don't love them, but our leadership team loves them. I wanted to give you that bit of hope and encouragement to go try to change it. Understand that it's not going to be easy, especially if there's a lot of like, oh, I love these numbers. But I think that we can. We did, and we rock uphill kind of battle. And I've seen a lot of organizations, especially as we become more and more and more aware, as our leaders become more and more and more aware that, you know, it's not just so easy as just counting days between OSHA recordables, and then if you get a big enough number, then nothing bad happens. It's not quite how it works. We become more aware of like, oh, wait a second, when that number's like 47,000 days, I don't think that's true. I'm not saying people are lying. I'm saying that people can't tell us stuff. Yeah, and it's on us to create an environment in which people can tell us the truth. Yeah, we know. We were mentioning basic truth around silence, and we've talked about this, I think, a bit before, that silence is our neutral position as people. It's already safe. And then when you throw stuff out there like that sign, like really, really meltdown, crap your pants reactions, usually because now we got to reset the sign and I freak out on you and I blame, shame, and punish you, because then when I have to talk about that during that morning meeting on that call and I have to say we are now 0 days since our last OSHA recordable, if I say it was you, then it doesn't look as bad on me and the site leadership team because I know that executive freaks out over that number. All of that is making it harder for people to tell us the truth. We're forcing them farther into that position of silence because we're not allowing them to tell us the truth. We've got to outgrow that. Now, on the brighter side of that is I think it's changing. I think most organizations, many, I said about halvesies, and I think halvesies is probably more accurate than many, most. I think we're waking up to this, all right? I think people are seeing this, that these signs and this kind of drive to zero kind of mentality is just, I'm going to call it lazy. I'm going to call it an oversimplification, and I'm going to call it not all that important. Yeah, and the reason being is because if I have 89 OSHA recordables this year, and it's all those kind of like, hey, you know, sneezed and threw out your back, hey, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, those kind of like really like, I'm gonna describe them as this, those things where they were events that probably went to their most extreme case. Does that make sense? Yeah, like me picking up the trash and throwing out my back is the most extreme case, right? That becoming an OSHA recordable is the most extreme case for that work. Those kind of situations, I don't care. And I know that sounds mean, and I don't mean in the sense like I don't care that somebody threw out their back. I think we respond. We get that person the help that they need. All that stuff that we need to do as good organizations and just as caring people, right, within our world. But as from like, oh, my God, we're losing the battle on safety. No, I don't care. I think that's dumb. I use the dumb word finally. Yeah, I don't care. I don't care. I'm more interested in things like critical risk. I'm more interested, again, not to get into all these other kind of wacky terms, but when we start talking about serious injuries and fatalities and potential for serious injuries and fatalities and these things where it's like, wait a second, I don't want us to focus all of our time just on some dumb number that doesn't really tell us anything. Let's spend our time focusing it on the things where it counts. So that's kind of the last thing I want to share with you is when we're just using those signs, we're just pouring a bunch of time and resources and reaction, really freaking out into a big, broad number that really doesn't tell us jack shit about how safe a location or site or organization actually is. So how did I do? I tried my best not to rant. I tried to keep it as rambly as possible because, you know, you've come to, I hope, love and appreciate my rambling rants. But there you go. There's a little bit on those signs. Big thumbs up to everybody out there pulling those things off the wall. It kicks butt. Your employees love it. your employees are happy and they can tell you more. Now, you got to back that up. You can't just pull the sign off the wall and be like, now tell me stuff. Right? There are other things at play. Duh. Of course. But it's a good step. And it's a great way on your journey, especially if you're on this hop journey, you know, this journey of human and organizational performance. For us, it was a great way to show in like an actual, like in the real world, like physical manifestation of us making progress. It was a cool way to show that. It really was, because we had been talking about hop and we'd been working on hop stuff, and our reactions were moving more towards restorative response and focused on learning and not so interested in blaming, but the signs were still there. The signs were always there, right? And then in the background, we're chipping away at incentivized metrics. And we didn't get rid of incentivized metrics. We couldn't quite pry them, as the executives would pry them out of my cold, dead hands, right? But we stopped incentivizing OSHA recordables, or lack of OSHA recordables. That's probably the right way to say it. Yeah, we started measuring things. And this is another key point here. At least if we're going to measure stuff, and especially if we're going to incentivize stuff, let's make sure that it drives behaviors that we hoped that it would see, instead of driving behaviors that we really don't want to see. Like the signs drive that behavior that just tells me to shut the F up because I know I don't want to reset that sign. We were doing all that stuff in the background. And then we got to this point where we're finally like, we're taking down the signs and we're taking down those stupid error count signs. We're taking down all that crap. And we had to strike a bit of a bargain. And the executive's like, yeah, but I'm keeping it on the call. In the background, I'm kind of wondering off, smiling, going, yeah, for now. Right? But it was this really cool, like, physical manifestation of our progress. When we finally got to go and talk to employees, like, take that things off the wall. And they're like, really? Really? You mean we're actually moving into this new century? Like, we are. We're doing it. It was a cool way to show that. So I think we beat it up enough. And there's a lot of, oh my God, I mean, we could talk about that. There's probably about 47,000. I think that's my number today because I feel like I've said that number more than once. But there's at least 47. How about that? Maybe not 1,000. There's at least 47 other bullet points we could probably talk about, pain points and problems and issues with these signs. But let's just say that they suck and they don't work. And not only do they suck and not work, but they actually make you know less as an organization because they drive people to tell you less. They cause harm. Yeah, and there's not like, yeah, there's some harm, but it's a net positive. No, it's a net negative. Tear them down, get rid of them, understand that there's a lot of other stuff that goes along with that, and also understand that if you go on this mission of tearing these things down, especially in an organization where, like, your higher-level leader is, like, super-duper, like, I love these things more than anything else, like, these things are the best things since sliced bread, then it's going to be frustrating, it's going to take you some time, and that's okay. Just keep that hope, endure. Chip away at it. Tell them the true story, right? Open their eyes to, like, yeah, I know what you think it's doing, and I can appreciate that, and I can appreciate that you have good intentions here, but here's what it's actually doing. It's cool. It's a cool day when you see those things come down. Well, that's all I've got. Again, I beat this thing up way too much. We're going on an hour, y'all. I think I was just excited to spend a little bit of time with you here since our last episode in this amazing year of 2025. If you need a hand, let me know. TheHopNerd@gmail.com. Would love to spend time with you over this year. Let's get it on the calendar sooner than later, and that way we can get you the dates that you're after. And then, yeah, make sure you follow along. Everyone, you can follow along. But that's all I've got. Until next time, it is Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd, signing off. Bye, everybody. Bye. Thanks for listening, everybody. We greatly appreciate all of your support of the Hop Nerd Podcast, the Hop Nerd LLC. If you need a little bit of help bringing human and organizational performance to life, if you would like to take your efforts around learning and improving to the next level, yep, I can help with that. Head over to www.thehopnerd.com or send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, bye, everybody. Bye.